Welcome back to this week's episode. We are jumping in with Flaw Toys as he crushes it with crystal clear double cast resin. Holy moly. I am not a huge resin collector, but wow. We are here. If you want to support the show, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It helps us grow. It's free for you. It means the world for us. If you want to follow along to the story of the artists, of what we're doing, of toys we make, all that stuff, at Toys on Tap on social media. And if you want to jump on and support even more, patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you find the goodies. That's where you find the good stuff. That's where you find the extras. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
Dude, I never use Zooms.
It is a hopefully lost technology. Like, if I didn't use it for the podcast, I wouldn't use it for anything.
Yeah. There's no other way to do it, like, nicely, I guess.
I don't know. This is the best thing that came out of COVID. Zoom. It's the only thing out of COVID that I loved. Dude, I'm really pumped to have you on.
Thank you.
I've seen your, I call them toys. I don't know what you would call them yourself. Designer work?
I guess.
But they started phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, it started off as designer toys in a way. I started like a really long time ago just to mess around with blanks, you know, like the, what were they called? What are like the old kid robot blanks that
like
you could
Dunnies
buy?
Or Bunny no, the, or Munnies or whatever they're
yeah,
called.
The, yeah, Munnies and stuff. Yeah, I started with those just to mess around. And it was horrible. Didn't like it at all. So then I decided to make my own character, and I made kind of like a blank stranger. So, you know, the character that I make, stranger, I made like a blank version just to experiment a bit. And I just realized I don't really like to paint or, you know, I don't like that part of making art or toys. I like the sculpting part and the casting, and that kind of evolved like that into what I'm doing right now. But it started off a way more toy-like than what it is now, basically.
Yeah. And it is, you're hitting all the things. Like, I hate painting. I hate casting. Yeah. I hate, but you're doing it in a way in, like, that just screams art, and I love it. Before we go any further, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
All right. I'm Sander Dinkgreve, very Dutch name. That's my real name, and my art name is Flaw Toys. The name came from Flawless Toys, but then I kind of liked it because it's handmade work. I kind of liked it that it has flaws to it as well, and kind of the uniqueness of every piece. Basically I make resin clear sculptures in a way. I don't really know how to explain it.
Yeah. You got to do me a favor and say your name one more time, because that was the most Dutch name I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. So Sander Dinkgreve. And my last name is, the newer version of the word Dijkgraaf. And that means the people that used to pump out the water out of the country.
Yeah.
So it kind of has a nice history, but we're not really sure. But we think it came from that. But yeah, terrible name to pronounce.
It's so good. I was in Iceland in 2017, and there was a woman that was talking to us from some Scandinavian country in which they, like, in English, our voices and our vocal cords just don't do those things. And like, don't have those same sounds. And she was talking, and I was so locked in on her because I could not, like, she was saying some crazy stuff, and I just couldn't. I was so fascinated. It was insane. But I love it. That's what I love about Toys on Tap, is I get people from all over the world, like yourself, who with these crazy times, because you're currently in Thailand, right?
Yeah. I moved there about 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah. That's a big move.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Korea before as well for a little while. So I like to move around a bit, which is kind of hard when you're, you know, with your resin equipment and everything. I need to keep buying everything from start again. But yeah, I just, you know, the Netherlands is nice and have my family there, but I just like to, you know, be somewhere else and experience something new sometimes.
Holy geez. I have so many questions. We're going to have to just start from the
beginning. Go ahead.
You're growing up. Tell me the toys you're playing with, the cartoons you're watching, all that kind of stuff.
I grew up. So my dad had a toy store, which was very convenient for me.
Already unfair.
So, but he was very strict on me, like, getting stuff. So what he would do is on, like, the summer holidays, like...
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
At like, how do you call that?
Like one of the summer first vacation.
School. Yeah, but how do you call it? Primary school? No.
Yeah, elementary schools.
Elementary school, yeah. He only gave us certain toys around that time, and then he took them away after the summer holidays so that we could appreciate kind of, you know, like the time that you have with certain things.
Yeah.
And I liked it, man. Like, if I ever have kids, I will do the same. Just limit kind of the amount of, I don't know. It just gave appreciated. I got to appreciate stuff so much more. And then I had friends around me that got new stuff every week. And they were just, you know, bored of everything basically. And I liked it. It was great. I don't know. I grew up with a lot of Cartoon Network and I think the usuals. We didn't have that many. Let me think. Yeah, mostly that and like, you know, like Dragon Ball and like this. I think quite standard, to be honest.
Yeah.
We didn't have Dutch cartoons that were great. Everything was in English, basically. So that helped.
Yeah. When you had... the like toys would come in for the summer break and then they're about, was it like marked on the calendar that it's like, this is toy day, this is pack up day?
No, it wasn't that strict, but, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like it just happened. I don't know. it was nice.
Yeah.
I liked it though. And then, sometimes we used to go to the store to help out a bit. So that would be like heaven to figure out what is there. And yeah.
That's but, unreal, dude.
Yeah. It was fun. But yeah, my dad has sold the store a really long time ago already. And, is enjoying his life now and not working. So that's good.
Yeah. Doing that kind of stuff, getting toys for the summer, coming back, having the toys, did all the toys then make it because it was like they were just packed away? Does he still have all the toys from when you were a kid?
He saved a bunch and now my brother's kids are playing with them, which is really fun. Yeah. So that's super cool. Yeah. I keep seeing photos of my dad kept all the old Lego sets and they're like the old ones are so fun. And I keep seeing photos. My brother's sending me photos of his kids playing with them. So it makes me really happy.
Unreal. Unreal. Cool. You're obviously an artist. So at some point toys and that kind of stuff and play kind of helped develop that art in you. When did it start to kick in?
Oh, good question. I think it's quite hard because I've always been, maybe like bored quickly. So I'm always like messing around with stuff with my hands and just building things or drawing on. I cannot draw. I suck and I cannot paint that well. But at least I would try, you know. I think it has been forever. I'm always trying to create little things because I'm just not a, like, I'm not really a reader, for example, or I just get bored very quickly. So I've always been messing around with a lot of trying a bunch of like different art things or, I don't know, learning about like mechanics or whatever. And I studied engineering, by the way, completely different. Yeah. So, I'm not really using it right now, but I was an engineer for 3 years, but before I quit.
Yeah. Which is to go from engineering to art is a tough jump.
Yeah. I think I started, it was around that time that I started creating my toys or art or whatever you can call it, because I was so stuck on my job because it was very technical. It was like medical as well. So it's like the most, if you make like a micron mistake, you would cost them like 10 grand or something, you know, like that kind of stuff. And it was so technical and it was fun, but I didn't like it at all. So I needed like a creative outlet. And that's why I started in after work, I would just go home and sculpt stuff and see, like, I guess learn about how to cast. And it was quite hard at the time to learn because there wasn't on YouTube, it was almost non-existent to, especially like clear casting. It was very hard to find any information about it.
Yeah. What was the year? I mean, what's cool about making toys, resin casting, all that stuff is the people that started it are all pretty much still alive. So it's like it's as if you started painting and you could talk to Michelangelo. Like have the ability to still interact with the people that have started this whole thing. What year are we talking that you start the process of design and casting?
Damn. The thing is, like, I've quit so many times as well. maybe like 10 years ago. Maybe?
Okay. 2014, 2015.
I guess. Okay. And nothing was great at the time for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer than 10 years even. It's hard to... I've been here. No, let's say 10 years. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. On again, off again relationship with casting.
Yeah. So it always was my second job. Mm-hmm. And so first it was the engineering, and then doing this on the side and burning myself out. And that's why I had a long break. And then I had a friend who, asked me to, different. I was finally making some toys that I was proud of basically and doing something that people enjoyed. And, there was a guy, I don't think he's doing sculpting. And like, he was a hired sculptor for supermarket little collectibles and stuff that they give you in supermarkets, which is a pretty awesome job. So he taught me a bunch as well. And then he started making designer toys as well, resin designer toys, but pretty much for fun. So we did a little exhibition together in Amsterdam, and then a Korean dude who was on his holiday, he saw the exhibition and he invited us to the first, wait, I can see how long that is ago actually. Let me check.
Did he invite you to something that's in Korea?
Yeah. So, and I was never in Korea before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to check. So the how do you call that? Not fair. What is the word for it?
Festival or convention.
Yeah, whatever. It was called Art Toy Culture. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think I was besides two other artists, we were the only non-Korean people, which is pretty fucking fun.
Yeah.
And they paid for the booth and like it was, I don't know what happened around that time, but they paid for almost everything. It was crazy. The hotel was free. The booth was free. They liked my work so much. I was like, oh, there's something in here, I guess.
Yeah. That's insane.
I liked Korea. Was really fun. I was there for a couple of weeks, and a buddy of mine who I brought along, he knew a high school friend there. So he guided us around and everything. And then I was like, fuck, I need to move to Korea. So then I moved to Korea. So that happened.
After your first show. So we're talking like early 2000s, like, or maybe like 2015, 2016. You are going to a show after doing art for such a short time and then move to the country to be around them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that's so much. Crazy.
I'm trying to find the date, but I cannot find it very quickly. I don't really remember when it was, but it's probably like, yeah, I don't know, like 7 years ago or something.
Yeah. Wild. So you get there. What was it like moving to Korea to, was it to do your art?
So that is kind of the story. Like, so the first time I went to Korea was for art, and then I moved there, but then somehow, damn, there's so much I have to tell.
Yeah.
So while I was in Korea, I took like quite a long holiday. So I got invited to Korea, and I told my job that I'm quitting the engineering job because I just wanted to break, and I was kind of burned out, and I wanted to focus on the exhibition thing in Korea. So I had no job, and then I did a bunch of traveling with my buddy around Asia, and then we kept going back to Korea. So we did like, we went to, I don't know, like Vietnam and then Korea and then Japan, and then came back to Korea every time. And that's why I decided to kind of move there. But then I had no money anymore and I needed a job. And during my travels, I bought a camera and I took a lot of photos and videos for fun. And I started liking that a lot as well. So then I got a job as a videographer in Korea. Okay. So then I didn't do any toys because I was so, like, it was a full-time job. And well, more than full-time. But it was also a lot of fun to just try something new, I guess, in my life.
So unreal.
So that I was a videographer, and I'm still a videographer. So that's my second job.
When did you, I mean, that while you're in Korea, you're a videographer, you pick up toys again at some point.
Yeah.
And when do we get to the point where you make your first stranger?
So my first stranger was in the Netherlands when before I was invited to Korea.
Okay.
But there, so I had a white like DIY version first, but I just didn't really like the idea of having to paint it or customize it like that. And then for the small exhibition in the Netherlands, I made a few clear ones, like very basic. To be honest, if I compare it to what I'm doing now, not very good, to be honest. But people liked it. So that was the first time I made them properly. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of quit because I moved to Korea, which is kind of weird. And then I'm trying to figure out the timeline because it's so far apart.
Yeah. This is my favorite thing about the podcast. I get to make artists think about their timelines.
Yeah, I never think about this as well. I think in like year three in Korea, I met up with some of my older toy friends that I didn't see in a while because I guess everybody got busy. Most of them quit as well because their normal job was taking too much time. And, you know, in Korea, they work crazy hours. If you have a full-time job, and especially an office job, some people, they work 14 hours a day. It's like you cannot leave before your manager goes home. And if you have a workaholic manager or whatever, or boss, then you just cannot go. It's quite crazy. So most of them quit. So I met up with them and I was like, oh, damn, I miss doing toys so much. And then I started going to more events in Korea and just, you know, get back to collecting first. I started collecting for a while and tried to start in Korea, but it was so hectic because with my videographer job, it was like 1 week, it would be like super chill. But then another week, you would have shoots like 48 hour in a row, like non-stop shoots.
Jeez.
And it was a bit of a, it was quite hard to focus on anything else, but at least I was figuring out what was going on in the space a bit more, and especially in Korea and in Asia. So it rekindled my love for, you know, like designer toys and art and sculptures and all of that. And then because of some issues I had with my visa, I had to go back to the Netherlands at some point. And I thought, okay, I have two options, or I continue my video business, well, not this, or like work or whatever, freelance or something, or I go back to toys because I really wanted to do that, or I do both. But I knew both would be a bit hard. So I just tried to go full on toys, basically. And so when I went back to the Netherlands, I finally started to focus on it. And it was pretty much full time, basically, which is kind of scary to do. But
yeah, because the market that you've built, like because you've jumped in and out of toys to then go full time, that's so scary. Because then it's like, where's the fan? Like you're trying to figure out where your base is, all that stuff.
For some reason, nobody really unfollowed my channels in all that time, which was really surprising. So I thought, okay, maybe there's still some people that would like my work. And then the first release I had was doing so well that I just kept on doing it and tried like improving myself and getting new sculpts out. And
looking at the sculpt of the Stranger, the most recent one that we see is the Anatoma Stranger. It looks like it has an engineering sculpt to it, where like the lines are perfect, the way that it like flows.
I used to collect like a lot of Corus toys.
Mm-hmm.
Works like I really like the older Corus work. Like the new works are great, but it's not my style. It's too colorful and a bit too round for my taste. But the old stuff was a lot more, not blocky, but I don't know how to explain it. But I think their older work had a lot more nicer form to it. I don't know how to I don't know how to explain it. So I started looking at a lot of similar works. Like so there's a what's his name? Colus? Yeah, Colus.
Okay.
I think it's a guy. I'm not really sure if it's a guy or not. But do you know his or her?
No, I'll have to look it up.
It is so clean. It is I don't know how to explain it. I guess it's a he. Does a bunch of like animals, and it's such clean work, and it's all handmade as well. Well, most of it is handmade. So I really like simple design in a way, something that is not too distracting and not too cluttered. I need to have a peace of mind if I look at something.
Yeah.
And I started collecting a lot of figures or sculptures in that theme as well. And I guess that's why I started trying to mess around with this as well, because it just, I don't know, it makes me feel calm.
Yeah.
even though like my last release has, you know, there's a lot going on, but it still makes me quite calm, which I like.
Yeah, that I mean, what's crazy about the work that you're doing is not only is it crystal clear, but the sculpt on the inside is perfect. And then you're like playing with certain dyes when you do no face and those types of things. So tell me about this process to get to that point. Like how many casts and like trial and error broke down by the time you got there?
That was endless, to be honest. A lot of endless filled molds, and I think like getting like aligning the skeleton inside of a cast like that seems very easy, but I think a lot of people they I get 500 comments every day on people asking me how I lock the skeleton inside of my strangers, for example. So I think a lot of people have issues with this. And I don't like to use fishing wire because you can see it. I like to be very precise on when I make toys. Like a lot of things will bother me very quickly. So I guess because of that, I just keep redoing stuff. And this is why I don't really release that many releases a year, because it just takes me forever to make them. And I just wanted to have them right and clean. And yeah, like I remember in the beginning, when I was starting to mess around with clear, first I had to figure out, okay, what resin do I even buy? So I kept buying different resins, and they all were stuck to the mold, or the mold wasn't like done correctly, or it was like, how do you call it, bleeding, or the like crazy seam lines, or it was a lot of frustration in the beginning. But then once you get a nice cast, like straight out of the mold, that's like the best feeling ever. It's so good.
That
But
first cast that's perfect is unbeatable.
And I don't think there's that many people that do it very well, like handmade, right? Which is, I think there's a reason to it, because it's just so frustrating at times to get something done. And because it's clear, like I guess because I'm, how do you call that? I'm looking for like a word. Not like strict, translation problems. So basically, because how do you call it when you have like a tendency to clean all the time, for example, or like something has to be in order, or
Oh,
like
obsessive.
yeah, I kind of have this with when I cast. So I the thing is, if you have a dusty room, or you do other like sanding in the same room, it will pretty much contaminate your resin, and you would just see this. And if there's the tiniest thing of dust in one of my casts, I most of the time I don't sell it. I just throw it away, which is, kind of but
So crazy.
it stuff like that. So I keep cleaning my work area, and I just need it all like very organized, because with the clear stuff, I just don't want anything messy to it. Yeah, that's just
I mean, that makes sense, right? Like you've nailed this down to an art, to like perfection. So anytime there is a flaw, that piece is useless then.
And to a certain degree, like most flaws are fixable. I don't know if there's like a, I don't know, a tiny bubble on the outside, it can always fill it up and you won't see it anymore. But yeah, once something is in the resin, you're pretty much done.
Man. So as you're doing this and you're growing and all that stuff, you're back in Amsterdam. And then when do you move out of
Yeah, near there.
Amsterdam to Thailand?
So I was in the Netherlands during, like, right before COVID, and then during COVID, and I was bored out of my mind, of course. Luckily, I chose to do toys instead of video, because there was no video during COVID. So it was a good choice.
Yeah.
And I just got bored again. Like, I love my country, but it's just after being in Korea, like the city life and the convenience you have in such a crazy, I was in Seoul. So it's hard to go back to something quiet, because to me, Amsterdam is quiet when, like, if you have lived in Seoul, Amsterdam is like a small, quiet city, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I just wanted something else. And then my buddy of mine has been here for a while. He said, just have a holiday. Oh, the same guy I went to Korea with, by the way. He texted me and he said, like, just, you know, come here for like a holiday. Just relax and, you know, just go. So then I went here, and then I had the same thing I had with Korea. I was like, okay, I need to move here. So then I left after a month and a half, and then I sold my car and then packed up all my shit, and then I left to Thailand.
Yeah.
And I did video for a while because I met a bunch of people that were doing events. So it was, you know, easy to get around, and I still have a bunch of savings and everything. And slowly I started to buy all my equipment and everything to make toys here. And now I'm still expanding and buying more stuff, but, you know, like, you have to buy pressure pots and compressors and
which all exists there, right?
Yeah. It's kind of funny that all the stuff you can buy here is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's compared to what I was using in the Netherlands, the quality is it's very hard to use. So it took me maybe 4 months or something to get a decent cast out of a mold.
Yeah.
Because the humidity, just the quality of silicone and resin is just not what I was looking for, or it shrinks too much, or...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure! We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet!
Oh my! We're doomed!
Wait! Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DOV2! Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys!
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
There are so many factors to it. So it took me 4 months to find the right material. And now I finally found it, which is good. But it just took a while.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, pressure pots and compressors, you know, you can pretty much buy them anywhere. It's just used for painting normally, right? Something, I guess. I don't even know.
So how long have you been in Thailand?
About 2-ish years.
Okay. Yeah. And been making toys there. Is there a toy community in Thailand that you've been a part of?
So there is a crazy big toy community, which in which I had no idea of. There was a Thailand Toy Expo? Maybe, let me check.
Is it Taipei? Somewhere around there as well?
No. So it was called Thailand Toy Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of buddies of mine from the UK who I used to hang out with when I... Oh, so there's a... there was a toy show called... my brain is fogging up. ToyCon UK, have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. They've been on here.
Are they still doing it? I'm not really sure.
Yeah. They just had one in April or March this year.
Oh, okay. So I used to go there when I was in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So I met a lot of like all the artists in the UK are the most amazing people to hang out with, and they're so like such a good vibe to go there. If you've never been, mm-hmm. you should just go there to just meet a bunch of the UK artists, and it's so much fun. And just having beers with them after, it's really good. And then there were a couple of guys that said that they were going to Thailand Toy Expo. I didn't even know it was there, to be honest. So they saved me some space, and I was able to put some stuff down and meet a lot of Thai artists. And it's big. I had no idea. It's really big, and it's a lot of resin work as well. It's a lot of factory work, but it's a lot bigger than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
There's an artist, a guy called, I don't know his real name, but his art name is Mupa, M-U-P-A. Have you heard of this? So he makes it. So it's a lot of resin stuff as well, but he's quite big. So he does vinyl as well now, but it's very, there is a, you know, Dolly Oblong.
Yep.
So that kind of like clean design.
Okay.
But then he has his own character, but it's kind of similar clean design as Dolly Oblong, like very just like clean and calm design. I don't know how to call it in a different way.
Yeah.
But he is really big in Thailand. And yeah, I started to figure out the scene here, and it's a lot bigger than I thought. I guess it just it fuses with all the other Asian countries, because at the Thailand Toy Expo, there were a lot of Chinese, Taiwanese, Japanese, Filipino, like from all over Asia. And they were all kind of blending in. And they all are going to, like the Thai artists that I met here, they also fly to all the Taipei and all the Philippine, I don't even know what the expo is called, but they kind of like all fly together to these expos all over Asia.
Yeah, have fun.
The thing is, like, I'm just too busy to go to expos, and it's usually quite a lot of money. The Thailand one was really expensive. I was surprised because the space was very limited,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of the year prior, the last day they were selling spaces, and it was already sold out the year prior on the day of the last day of the expo, which is insane. And I think that like the lowest space was like, I don't know, $3,000 or something US, which is for Jeez. Like a super small space. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really surprised me. But I think because, you know, Taiwan is so big with all the blind box toys nowadays, that they know the spaces will be bought up by a lot of bigger companies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they can kind of, you know, ask this price. I'm not sure, but it's very interesting.
Yeah, that is crazy. So you've been making them in Thailand. You've been making like connections with the toy scene and still producing. And some of the recent ones I've seen, like Faceplant. Tell me about like molding and casting that, because its shapes are definitely different. So you got to know how air moves and all that stuff.
So like I keep seeing people on like whatever TikTok and Instagram that they have quite an interesting shape, but they have like, I don't know, like 10 sprouts or something. And even with Faceplant, as long as, you know, the bottom is flat, I would just have two sprouts in the bottom where mm-hmm. they had it, and then cast it like that, and I would not have any bubbles. I think a lot of people, they just forget to tilt the mold when you're like, if you pour your resin and you tilt your mold like a couple of times, you tap on it, you turn it around, tap on it, turn around, tap on it. Then most of the air is usually, and then of course put it in a pressure pot. Then most of the air is pretty much easily released. I mean, when you're double casting, it's a bit different, and that's why I haven't double casted the face plant yet, because I'm kind of threading it, because that will be something. but it's not that hard, because also I think because of the clean design, my walls kind of, the bubbles don't really get stuck in the walls.
Yeah, because there's no ridges.
Like, yeah, I'm sure if you have like a kaiju, crazy dinosaur looking toy, it will be a lot harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, it helps that, yeah, the bubbles like kind of like flow out. And if you just tilt it a bit, there's no issues at all.
There's going to be people in these comments about your episode that are going to say, like, how do you do it? How do you? Because yeah. It's like crystal clear to the point where it looks like glass. And it's insanity. And then you work with the skeleton on the inside that's sometimes glow in the dark. Sometimes it's just there. Just working with all that stuff. Are you, when you're designing these, are you sculpting them by hand to kind of figure out everything that needs to go into it?
Empire Blister. Empire Blister. Specializing in action figure blisters. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functional. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
Yeah, I used to work with a 3D software called SolidWorks when I was an engineer, but you cannot do any flowing design. So I just started doing it by hand and I kind of kept doing that.
Holy moly.
I really want to. So if you would like put like a mirror, like it's not like perfectly mirrored because it's all handmade, of course, and hand sculpted, but I kind of like it. It just, I don't know. It does something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do that by hand, and of course pretty much everything from designing to packaging or whatever, it's all done by me basically. I wish I can get some help sometimes, but I don't really know how to find someone with the skill or somebody that is not getting frustrated and quits after a week.
Do you plan on going factory production at some point?
I was thinking about it, but I don't think my design is something that it's being mass produced, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the limited runs.
Okay.
So I maybe in the future, but it would be just probably like once to for fun so that I can figure out the process. But I don't really. Yeah, I like the limited. I don't think there's a factory that would do 60 pieces or something. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it would still be cheaper to do it myself and more fun. So, yeah, I think I'll just keep doing it myself. It would be nice to have a bit of help on stuff that is boring, like sanding or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sanding is the worst, so yeah.
Yeah. If I can just eliminate sanding and, yeah, the stuff that's taking a lot of time and that I don't care about, then I can focus on getting new. I have so many sculpts that I still haven't touched. Like, I think I have 5 sculpts that has been ready forever now, and I just didn't have the time to do anything.
Yeah.
So it's
you need an intern.
Yeah, dude, it would be nice.
Someone that could just come on and help. We have to talk about the name. I mean,
yeah,
you went from Flawless Toys to Flaw Toys.
Yeah,
and your work speaks to being flawless and not flawed. What was the reason from, like, why are we going the other way when we have crystal clear casts?
Yeah, I think because I'm so critical of my own work, I always see handmade art kind of having a flaw in a way.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the main reason. And I kind of like the uniqueness of, you know, like, for example, with the ones I do with the smoke inside and everything, I like that they're never the same and they're always a bit different.
Yeah.
So you can call it a flaw, I guess. It depends on how the smoke flows through the piece, for example. But I think I like handmade, like most of the, if I buy something, I rarely buy stuff nowadays, but if I buy something, it's mostly handmade work nowadays. I don't really buy factory stuff, maybe like an old course piece if I find a good deal or something, but most of the stuff I buy is handmade, and I kind of like that it has flaws and it has a storyline on how it's made. And I remember the guys from what's the name? Adam Savage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He has the YouTube show. Mm-hmm. What's it called?
I can't remember the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So a while ago, I don't know why, but he bought one of my no faces.
Okay.
And then I got first of all, awesome that he buys it, and he was reviewing it on his YouTube show. But he was, instead of talking about just, oh, this is a toy, you know, it looks cool and that's it, he was talking about like, oh, the seam line is here and he probably like casted it like this. And I kind of like, you know, if I buy stuff as well, I kind of like to see like, oh, how have they been going around to make this? And I'm okay with a seam line or like a, you know, as long as it's not too crazy, I kind of like it. And I think, long story short, that's why I like the name Flaw Toys.
Yeah.
It's really hard to explain.
So with all this stuff and the other five sculpts and your joy with going to conventions and stuff, what's next for Flaw Toys?
good question. I haven't been thinking about this too much. I really want to, so I'm making it's almost done. So I have a bust version of the Anatoma Stranger. Mm-hmm. And I really want to, because I wanted a little bit of a bigger piece, because it just looks nice. And I like bust figures. I think it's a good match as well. So I really want to finish that, but it's still a bunch of work and I'm still working on the skeleton. And I don't like the first time I made the skeleton for the Anatoma. Mm-hmm. I think I got very lucky, because so let's say you sculpt the outside parts of the stranger itself, and then you sculpt the skeleton, and then you mold them both.
Mm-hmm.
They have like different percentages of shrinkage, and so it doesn't really fit anymore, or one thing is too big and one thing is too small. And then I have been having a lot of issues with this.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because the resin now that I'm using is a bit, you know, it's not as good as the resin I was able to buy in the Netherlands. Maybe that's why it had less shrinkage or something, but I'm having a lot of issues with this right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of fun. It's kind of like a puzzle, and you just keep improving. And, you know, just I kind of like this part. And that's why an intern would be amazing. So I can just focus on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to bigger pieces. They look to see a bigger version of some of the stuff that you're making would be awesome. We're all watching the news right now. I'm assuming you've suspended shipping to the US for the time being until that gets situated.
So the company I'm using said everything is fine. So I think I'm okay. They probably have a way around it.
Yeah. So a little loophole. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I'll do like the next order I'm sending out, and we'll see how it goes. But they said everything is, it should be fine. I don't know why many people are suspending it anyway, because it's not the couriers. People would just get like a piece of paper with the amount they have to pay on it, right? I don't really know how it works, to be honest.
I mean, for us, we have a pretty bad administration in charge right now. And like intellect is not the top priority for them. And so mm-hmm. they've been telling a lot of people that like our tariffs and stuff that we put in place, the other countries will pay for them. That's not how a tariff works. Yeah. So
that's so complicated, because how can you enforce that even? Okay, so that's why everybody's like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing right
yeah.
now.
And so all these, we had this amazing thing called de minimis. I don't know the full name of it, that if it was under $800, there was no tariff bill.
Yeah.
That has been taken away, or it will be as of the 29th, I believe, of this month. Mm-hmm. And so there's people freaking out, which rightly so. It's a panic thing. But we are all in this. I do have to say, like, however bad shipping gets for the artists and for all that stuff in other countries, we are in the middle of watching a whole government implode on itself in the US. And so it's a very low priority for us that you can't ship here.
Yeah,
like, we're watching crazier things than shipping.
Yeah,
it's wild. But yeah, so it'll get fixed eventually.
Yeah,
we just have to wait it out.
There was this change in Europe a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
I think since the beginning of the year, and then they were also, everybody's freaking out, including myself.
Yeah,
there was this new law that you have to. You need to note what all your ingredients, like whatever materials you're using, you need to note it down somewhere, and you need to like register your packages under a certain, it was like, there were so many extra things you had to do to ship something to Europe. And it was kind of like to save the consumer of, I don't know, buying dangerous stuff. But then for art, that like, if you, let's say you buy a vintage piece, you don't know what's inside. You don't know what it's made of. Like, sometimes they still use terrible paints because it's like an old item, you know?
Yeah.
So everybody was freaking out. And in the end, they said you have to hire like an advisor in Europe somewhere. So like crazy stuff. And in the end, nothing happened. And I sent all my stuff without doing anything, and it's fine.
Yeah. It's hard to enforce things. Yeah.
I'm sure this will be over, like after like a couple of weeks, they'll be like, nah, there's no tariffs to that.
Yeah. <on you. laughs> I will say that this is an illegal thing, but if people are trying to still ship to the US, if you ship to either Canada or Mexico, we can cross the border if we're close enough and go pick up that shipment without any fees. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind.
This will be a loop. Everybody will be using this probably.
Yeah. Toys on Tap is very close to the Mexico US border. So just know that if you need something here, I'm more than happy to go over there real quick. Nice. Yeah. I'm so uninterested in all of it. Like, it sucks, right? The whole world is in turmoil because of one guy. But the art community, what was that?
The reason why I like being in Thailand is I'm kind of like in a bubble. I don't really know any, like, I don't follow the news. I don't care about politics. It's really nice to just, you know, people here are super chill. It's a nice bubble to be in, to be honest.
We get in these bubbles every once in a while in the US. So sometimes it's like when there's an administration that's in charge that isn't going crazy. You're allowed to be in your own bubble and do things, but this has brought us all out of our own bubble, which is, it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But we are pumped to still be making art and still finding ways to get things shipped here. Like, if I have to take a boat somewhere, we'll take a boat. Like, just, we'll figure it out. Dude, it's been awesome having you on the podcast. The next, and first and foremost, thank you for working with time. Like, you're in Thailand right now. It's 14, 15 hours ahead?
Yeah, it's 11 right
now. Yeah, that's
and
wild.
And I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, holy moly. Thank you so much for making this work. And you were even gracious enough. I told you, like, let's start at 7. And you're like, no, we can start an hour later. So thank you for that. That was helpful. But the last part of the podcast is you get to plug whatever's coming up, new designs, where they can work with you, if you do collabs, where they can buy your art, all that stuff.
Ooh, yeah. I'm very terrible at this for sure. Because I'm always trying to reach out to people and then ending up ignoring everybody's messages because I'm so busy. it's so hard, man. But I mean, I will have a new Anatoma release very soon. And I said probably 2 or 3 weeks ago that it was around that time, but I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
I'm working on the bust, and I think it's almost done, but almost can still mean another month of testing. You can find me on Instagram. I started a TikTok, but I don't really post much there yet. But it's all just Flaw Toys, F-L-A-W Toys. And I have a newsletter that you can find on my website. And pretty much before I post anything or before any release, I send it out to my newsletter, because I think a lot of it, you know, because it's limited runs, a lot of people kept missing out, and they started complaining about it on my Instagram. So I was like, okay, I need to create a mailing list. So I have a mailing list for anybody that's interested.
Awesome.
And I'll just try my best to get the new sculpts out. I really want to, because they're super awesome and very complicated to cast. So I'm getting myself into some crazy situations. they will be more complicated than the face plan, so it will be fun.
Yeah, holy moly. Dude, thank you again for coming on Toys on Tap.
Yeah, thank you for having me and having interest in my work.